We have been speaking about the situation in Turkey and Syria, where the quake death toll has now passed 7,800. Really, really difficult scenes that we're seeing. And that just... heartbreaking story of a newborn that was plucked alive from the rubble, still attached by the umbilical cord to the deceased mom. How frightening is that? And the World Health Organization is warning that time is running out for thousands that have been injured, those still feared trapped as well. The Gift of the Givers is now in Turkey. So too is the Salam Foundation. We'll hear from their director in a short while. Yesterday we spoke to Turkmen Terzi, who is a Turkish journalist based in Johannesburg for the online Turkish Minute. And Turkmen was telling us about his family and how they have been affected and how many of them are missing. So we thought we would check in with him today. Turkmen, good afternoon to you. Thank you for joining us yet again. What do you hear from your family in that devastated area of Turkey?
Thank you. My relatives were missing, and I got a sad story just 2 hours ago, and my cousin passed away, and his son is under the rubble, I think 15 years old. I never see him, but he was my very good, the cousin. And, the families also, some family members, relatives, family members are okay, but relatives is difficult to communicate because GSM operators is not, I think, functioning. Is one person in the city, another in the district, just 15 kilometers, 20, they fail to reach each other. And I heard that this is the third day of the earthquake, but the search and rescue team only arriving just a few hours ago. It means almost all the buildings is grounded, destroyed, and many people under the ground. Mm. They share the social media post also, my neighbors. But they only came today. It's actually a very sad situation, and they are now bringing the construction machine in the Elbistan. Is the next district is the epicenter of just a 20-kilometer epicenter of the second earthquake. They be now bringing the trucks and the excavator and the big construction machine to remove the rubble. Means thousands of thousands of people under these rubble, and they are complaining, where is the Turkish Red Crescent? Why Turkish army is very capable in this rescue operation? Why Turkish army is not involved for rescue operation? It's very late. Under this house, like, doesn't matter how much help. Yes, it is important. People are, you need to help the people alive. The under minus 10 degrees is a very cold area. But they complain that government is really late. Yes, international support is important, but you are a big country, you have a big army, you have a big Red Crescent, you have a big crisis management, and you experienced this disaster in 1999. I myself experienced. So you didn't take any lesson after 20 years.
Well, Turkmen, thank you for speaking to us, and our condolences to you, the fact that you have lost family members, as you've just heard. Your sense from the people when you have been able to get hold of them, we've lost Turkmen, unfortunately. Turkmen speaking to us there about the frustration that government doesn't seem to be responding quick enough for the extent of that devastation. Really, I think, is just so overwhelming at this point. It's freezing. There are so many buildings that have collapsed as well. So we are seeing this international response. As I said, Gift of the Givers has landed in Istanbul now. Several South African journalists going along, so I'm sure we'll see many stories coming out of there as well. Yesterday, we spoke to Azar Abadi, the director of the Salam Foundation. He was in Istanbul as well, describing the scene there, and he sent us a WhatsApp voice note today to give us an update. Let's have a listen to that.
Good afternoon. This is Azar Abadi of Salam Foundation, currently en route to the town of Hatay, which is on the southern borders of Turkey and Syria, one of the areas that have been hardest hit by the devastating earthquake to rock this part of the world. At present, the death toll has now risen to 9,500, closing on 10,000, but the number expected to increase even further. Reports are indicating that around or more than 11,000 buildings have been destroyed and many more people have been injured. So it truly is a devastating scene right now. There have been emotional pictures coming through of rescue operations that have been successful. Children have been pulled out, families have been pulled out from the rubble by the rescue operators. I'm currently traveling with one such group as we head into the earthquake zone. There have also been images of heartbreak and devastation where people have lost their family members and people have died as a result of the earthquake that has taken place. In terms of the work that we are doing, we will be providing emergency relief. The temperatures have dropped to below minus six and minus 5 degrees Celsius. Thousands and thousands of people are homeless right now. Many are crowding in mosques, in community centers, in halls, in schools. They have very little to cover themselves, and many more remain outside, living on street corners and taking shelter under the sky. So blankets, hot meals, food, water are all the necessities that are required. The airports still remain closed in the southern areas, so we are traveling by bus. We've been at it for the last 18 hours or so and will be arriving soon to the disaster site. There are several organizations from South Africa that are participating in the rescue and search and rescue and the relief operation. There are a number of people that have obviously come from outside. 10 areas of the country have been declared as a disaster zone. These are the areas that these rescue teams have been deployed to and will get to work immediately. The key thing is that we have 72 hours from the time of the earthquake. We already passed the 48-hour mark. And in those 72 hours, the likelihood of finding survivors is the highest. And as the time goes on, the likelihood of finding people who are alive will diminish. So it is a race against the clock right now to get as many people with the necessary skills and the access to resources to be able to assist and to pull out the survivors and then to be able to take care of them in the best way. We ask everybody in South Africa to keep us in your prayers as we go forth with this daunting task of assisting humanity. Thank you very much.
The voice there of Azhar Vadi, the director of the Salam Foundation, sent us that WhatsApp voice note en route from Istanbul to the affected areas. And as he says, it is a race against the clock, the WHO warning that as well, that they need to respond quickly.